right, we shall continue in the vein of our discourse that we have for some time been laboring in. As we espouse the essence of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. We have this document that we have passed out section one. And of course, what we will always do here at the Grace Gospel Church is that we shall put in writing everything that we preach and teach. This is the directive that God gave to me when we begin this ministry. And so you shall always have something in your hand. Amen. We are confident that through our study and our gleanings, we have extracted the truth, and we are confident to the point that we will always have it documented.
All right.
In writings. No one will have to guess about what we believe and what we teach.
All right.
Amen. It's in writing.
Mm-hmm.
We have this document that is entitled The Glorious Body of Christ, the Church. Ushers, if our guests do not have a copy, if you have not given them a copy, please make sure that they do get one. Now, some may call it preaching from a script. And I say guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If we are to get to the bottom of the truth of what God has conveyed to us, it requires a detailed study and analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just read the Bible.
Come on.
Some novels you can read. Some textbooks, if they're simple enough, you can read.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot just read the Bible. Mm-hmm. This is the problem with many Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They attempt to read the Bible, and many of them get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And say, it's too confusing, it's too hard to understand. They say that it contradicts itself and a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I agree, if you sit down and you try to read it like a novel or any other book, you're going to be confused. You see, this Bible is not just the written word. The Bible is the living word. These
yeah.
words are alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. And you can take one or two verses, and the script from it will induce a plethora of conveyances to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is why sometimes, as I come before you, we only get through one or two verses, and sometimes we don't get through one verse.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it's not so much the written script, but what the Spirit does in conveying the entire gamut of God's conveyances and His cogitation to us in expressing His will, plan, and purpose. Because this is the only thing that really counts. Amen. The plan, will, and purpose of God. And I know we have agendas. We all have agendas.
Yes.
Amen. But they're limited in scope, and this is why they change so much, and
yes.
they have to be altered. Amen. But when we look at the plan and will of God, it does not fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
God from eternity
yes.
has decreed certain things.
Yes.
And I said to you this morning that every last one of them will come to pass.
Everyone.
There's not anything that is in the mind of God to do that He has determined to do that will not be done exactly
like
He has decreed it
yes.
to be.
Yes.
And this should give some comfort to us when it relates to our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Your salvation is the most important thing concerning you.
That's right.
Amen. Where you will spend eternity. We must understand that God has fixed it. God has eternally placed us in a most favorable position.
Come on with.
And there's nothing touching life that can ever come
nothing.
And interrupt what God has done for us.
Nothing.
We're blessed this morning. I said to you, you're blessed. Even if you have problems this morning, and I shouldn't say if, amen. Everyone in here has some, I didn't follow you around, amen. Some of you, I don't really even know what your affairs are, amen. But I do know that if you're anywhere between the womb and the tomb, you have some problem this morning, some situation. Life, amen, is not devised to be problem free. I wish someone would tell some of these prosperity ministers that so they can quit running a game on the people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that you can be very free, debt free, amen. They preach about every freedom except freedom from singing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But what God has devised, amen, culminates in everlasting, eternal blissfulness, a happiness.
That's
right. So our hope is not in what's going on now.
All right.
And the situations that are going on around us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we're basically taught to, and in our mindsets that things revolve around what's happening in our lives.
Mm.
We even put God on the peripheral.
Mm.
Amen. As one who is standing on the sideline, just waiting to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old saying that God wants to bless you. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are the center of things. Amen. You and I, we are not the center, amen, of existence. God is. Amen. And it speaks to that. In his word, that he does all things according to the counsel of his will, and the essence of what he does is for his good pleasure, to please him. So it's not about what pleases us, and the ministry should not give, amen, the workings of the ministry to please the people. Listen, this should be about pleasing God. Is God pleased?
Yeah.
Is God happy?
Yeah.
Amen. Can we be happy if God is happy?
Yeah.
Amen. This is what we shall look into the essence of. Now, we have for months now been on the glorious body of Christ, the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we shall continue for months to be on the glorious body of Christ, the church. And I know this may be boring to some, hopefully not any who are part of this ministry by now.
Mm-hmm.
It means you should be used to the fact that our ministry is not about psychology, sociology, and absolutely not about politics. You've been hit with that all week.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so when you come to the house of God, it should not be more politics.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But good news of the gospel should be just that.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is not invested in the things of this world.
Amen.
The hope of the gospel is in Christ Jesus,
yeah.
In the essence of Christ,
yeah.
Wherein he has a special place
mm-hmm.
for us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What the ministers really do not come out and say is that this life is temporary.
Come on.
Everything concerning this life is temporary. Your home,
mm-hmm.
your job,
yeah.
your profession,
yes.
your marital status,
yes.
Every time we perform a wedding, we say until death, not if death, until death do us part.
Yeah.
Amen. And so the hope of life, which is the hope of the gospel, transcends this life and this world. Basically, the Bible gives an age standard of 70, which is 70 years. Many of us don't reach that, but even if you go beyond that and you live to be 100 years, you've only lived 1,200 months. So it's temporary. Temporary, everything that's going on right now is temporary. You're born, you grow up, and after you grow up, you hopefully either go to school or you go to a trade school, you go to college, you get a degree, amen, you get a profession, amen, and we have several in this congregation who have great, good professions, amen, and we certainly encourage that, but we do not put that as the center. Don't make anything the focus and the center of your life, amen, the nucleus of your life, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And because what happens is the functions of life follows this sequence. You get married, and hopefully you get married after you get a job. And then you have children. And you look around one day, and those children are grown, and they've got children. And guess what? You're a grandparent. Amen. I happen to be a grandfather. Amen. If the Lord gives you a little bit longer life, you look up, and your grandchildren will have children, and you a great grand. Most of us don't. We don't get that far. Amen. Sooner or later, it's checkout time. It's checkout time. No one who was alive in 1830 is alive this morning.
Amen.
How about that, huh? Amen. And I'm sure that everything that they were doing at that time, the politics of that day, the social problems of that day, were ultra important to them.
That's right.
But it's meaningless to them now. The social problems and the political problems and the spectrum of all of these things, they're important to us. I hope they're not ultra important. They're important. They're very important. But I hope they're not so important until they're the center of your life. Because guess what? Amen. If the Lord tells another 100 years, it won't matter who's president today.
Amen.
Huh? It won't matter whether it's George W. or John Kerry. Amen. It won't matter at that point. Amen. The focus and the ministry should take the lead in focusing the minds and the hearts of God's people in the eternal realm.
Yeah.
Amen. Of who we are.
Yeah.
Amen. We have a glorious future.
Yeah.
We are members of the body of Christ.
Right.
When He saves you,
yeah,
He places you into the essence of Christ. I want you to turn with me a base scripture. We're gonna do a lot of reading, and of course, I have no trepidations about asking you to read a lot. Those of you who went to the Passion movie, you read for 2 hours. Amen. So I don't think we have any problems with reading. Amen. In the 26th verse of the 3rd chapter of Galatians. 26 through 29, and then we will go to the 4th chapter of Ephesians. I think it's probably even on the front of the church bulletin this morning, verses 23 and 24. We have been gleaning nuggets from that context. Amen. And then we shall end up today in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
See, what preaching and teaching should be about is the text,
all right,
not what is written.
Come
amen.
On, come on.
The only subject, amen, that should be preached from the pulpit mm-hmm. are the things of God. Amen. All right. If you got the 26th verse of Galatians chapter 3, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Reader, read. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Read.
Galatians 3:26.
Mm-hmm.
For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Here we deal with this also, this expression, put on Christ. In the Ephesians chapter 4, we shall touch on that again this morning. Those who are baptized, and he's not speaking of a ceremony here, he is speaking about the essence of those who are placed into the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He is speaking about a spiritual baptism.
Spiritual.
Water baptism is a physical mm-hmm. baptism depicting a ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it is the essence of being placed into the mystical body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To put on Christ, or to be in Christ. Amen. All right? Read.
Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Speaking of the body, in the body there are no distinctions.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no distinctions because a body is only identifiable by its head.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If one of you walked in, if I was going to identify you, I would look up at your head, not down at your feet.
That's right.
And say, I recognize your feet. No. Amen. So this body has only one recognizable agent.
Yeah.
That is the head.
Yeah.
That is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. And of course, here at the Grace Gospel Church,
mm-hmm.
every time we come together, mm-hmm. You don't ever have to wonder what the subject is.
Mm-hmm.
The subject is Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. And we're not talking about him, then let's close up and go and go to the ballpark or something.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But when we come into the church,
mm-hmm.
let us focus on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So in this body, there are no distinctions, and mm-hmm. this would certainly be great if those who are God's people would come to recognize that you wouldn't have schisms and
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have all of the ego tripping that goes on in churches,
mm-hmm.
Personality conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be grand if everybody just focused on the head?
Yeah.
Who is the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
How about it? Wouldn't that
yes.
be great?
Yes.
Wouldn't that
Hallelujah.
Be super? Amen.
Hallelujah.
And so, the body of Christ mm-hmm. has only one head.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Verse 29.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
All right, we're done with that. We won't go back through this again. He is not speaking of the Abrahamic promise
mm-hmm.
here. He is speaking of the promise of justification by the faithfulness of God. The same, amen, way that Abraham received justification.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was justified
mm-hmm.
not so much through Abraham's faith, but
mm-hmm.
through Abraham's faith, amen, or through our faith, is basically identification with the faithfulness of Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Justification comes about by the removal of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And your faith cannot remove sin.
Come on.
Only the faithful work of Christ
right.
can remove
Hallelujah.
Sin.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So it is the faithfulness
mm-hmm.
of Christ,
mm-hmm.
the righteousness of Christ,
right.
Amen, which is imputed to us
mm-hmm.
through imputation.
Mm-hmm.
And this all occurs in an eternal realm
mm-hmm.
as it is tied to the decree.
Mm-hmm.
You are saved this morning by decree.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saved this morning by some action, amen, And thus, salvation is not by action. Mm-hmm. And thank God it's not by action.
Thank God.
Amen. Because we would have to then make sure that we perform the right action.
That's right.
Amen. And if you look at all the denominations, each one has its own remedy as to how one is saved.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is baptism,
mm-hmm.
then we get into whether we should sprinkle, whether we should dunk,
mm-hmm.
then we get into the essence of what one should say when they perform
right.
the ceremony.
Right.
And so thank God it is not about what men do.
Mm-hmm.
It is about what God has done
mm-hmm.
in eternity.
Yes, sir.
You are saved by the creed.
Hallelujah.
You are saved because God elected you
yes.
and chose you in
oh.
Him before the foundation of the world. And He didn't stop there.
Come on here.
When He chose you, it had to be on the basis of the fact that He justified you.
Yes.
He sanctified
yes.
you. Amen. And the total work of salvation
mm-hmm.
is attributable to the decree
mm-hmm.
in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And thus what one does here on earth is not the determinant, but what God has done
yes.
in eternity.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go now quickly to the fourth chapter of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. And as I've said, our focus is on the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, it becomes quite a task for those who are going to minister the eternal spiritual things, because God's people are used to focusing on that which is before us in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Here, as we look at this fourth chapter, Deacon, I want you to start at verse 20 and read down. And of course, I know we've been through this, and of course, preaching and teaching and learning is 90% repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The more we hear it, the better off we are.
Yeah.
We can never say, I've read the fourth chapter of Ephesians, I don't ever have to read that anymore. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verse 20. Everybody got it? Of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Read.
But ye have not so learned Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that ye put off concerning the former conversation.
That you put off concerning your past way of living, a manner of life.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
The old man.
It's called the old man. Here, this reference is to the flesh. Read.
Which is corrupt, according to the
scripture. I didn't say it. The scripture said it. Speaking of the flesh.
Yeah. Yes.
He's corrupt. All flesh.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Corroboration of this in Peter. He said all flesh is what?
It's grass.
It's grass. This as what? The flower of the field that does what? Thank God it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But it is dominated. Here you see this word according to. It is underlined by the Greek word kata.
Mm-hmm.
According to, it is dominated, it is according to deceitful lust.
Mm-hmm.
This is all flesh.
All flesh.
Your flesh,
yes.
My flesh.
Yes.
Flesh is very comfortable with sin.
Yes, it is. Yes.
It's right at home.
Yes.
That's everybody's flesh.
Yes.
I don't care. It's where you talk about the pastor, yep, the pope, yes, the bishop, yes. Flesh is flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is why Paul stated on one occasion concerning him, he said, amen, when I would do good,
mm-hmm.
evil is present all around. He's speaking of his flesh.
Right.
Amen. And here, as we look into this passage, and what we have been trying to do as we focus on the body of Christ is to move away, amen, from our concentration on the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We think flesh,
mm-hmm,
bodily, worldly,
mm-hmm,
amen, the things around us,
mm-hmm,
that we can see, we can physically focus on, that which we can taste,
mm-hmm,
that which we can have.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, man, that's the real world. Well, the Bible is telling you to get away from your real world.
Get away from it. It says it.
And focus into the essence of eternity and where God has placed you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right? Let's look here at the 23rd and 24th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you have... if you have the new document, if you have the document, that would be about the 13th, page 13.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not telling you this so that you could read along, but basically just for a point of reference.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In the 23rd verse, read.
Ephesians 4:23.
Mm-hmm.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Be renewed. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit of your mind. We don't understand what salvation is. Basically, women taught that it is a transformation of our bodies. It is not. You know the song that used to sing, I looked at my hand and they were new, and my feet and they were too. That's not true. Amen. Same hands, same feet. Amen. It's not about the body. It's about the mind.
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord has taken care of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes to the Corinthians, if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, a wind,
mm-hmm,
it will dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. After a certain length of time,
mm-hmm,
you will leave these bodies.
Absolutely.
So the Lord has already taken care of that.
Absolutely.
For it speaks to the end that He has given us a new body.
Mm-hmm.
We are, amen, we are glorified in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In a new body.
Yes.
That's what the hope of the gospel is about. And that, this might be boring to some, amen, because the only thing that excites some of us is a new car, new house, money in the bank. My friend, all of these perishable commodities are going to fade away.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's focus on that which shall never end.
Yes.
Amen. And, basically, we are taught salvation, and especially in this age of what they call this New Wave doctrine, I'm teaching you basically that salvation and genders getting ahead in this life.
Mm.
And I hope Aaron asks, when do we get ahead in this life?
Mm.
But you've only accomplished something that is temporary.
Temporary.
Amen. True success is being in the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, know what it is. You are blessed. You are blessed, amen, to have some idea what it is. Amen. And that is abiding in the essence of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so true success is the knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what verse 23 is trying to speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
It says, be renewed in the mind.
Yes.
It's in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what ministry is about.
Mm-hmm.
The renewing of the mind.
Yes, sir.
And the renewing of the mind,
mm-hmm,
amen, is not centered around, amen, progressively, amen, getting ahead in this life.
All right.
All right. Preach it.
And those who step under this type of ministry, and their minds are geared, and their minds are prioritized on the things of this life, are soon brought to disappointment.
Yeah.
Because if you are alive, things are not going to go the way that you want them to go. Don't let anyone tell you that you can be debt free, that you can be health uninhibited. Like there is a book in the bookstore that is entitled How to Get Your Healing and Keep It.
No way.
How absurd is that? Even Lazarus, whom Jesus
come on.
raised from the dead,
yeah.
eventually got sick again and died.
Yes, he did.
And I know this is going out on the air, on the internet, but those who are in the word faith movement, they basically conspire to conceal the problems that they have. And so when one of them gets ill or dies, it's not talked about.
Not.
Yes, Kenneth Hagin Sr. died and they almost had a secret funeral.
Yes, sir.
Because he had preached healing so long.
That's right.
And I was talking to my brother last night, and we were eating that this other couple that used to come on the Timberlakes, and they would stand up and they would give all of these illustrations, and they had many, many people following. And he got cancer and died. And they almost kept it a secret. It's almost like it's an embarrassment to them. Amen. There's no embarrassment concerning the things of life that before the Son is not reading the Bible. Amen. Who was any sicker than Apostle Paul?
Amen.
And for those who teach that it is God's will to heal everybody, Paul said, I prayed three times about my infirmity.
That's right.
And the Lord said, Paul, leave that thing alone.
Get away from it.
And so he carried that ailment all the way to Nero's chopping block. And so our focus cannot be on this life and the things of life because so many things can go wrong. And if your aim and your aspiration is on this life, amen, a certain catastrophic situation can come upon you and you will feel that life is over. But it's not about this life. It's about the life to come. Hear me this morning.
Yes.
And so, it says, and be renewed in the mind. You're yet in these bodies, but the renewing is in the mind. So, it's speaking about the information that goes into the mind. What are God's people being fed? Is it to teach God's people that they can avoid suffering when the scripture teaches us that he who will live godly shall know it's an imperative mood must suffer persecution?
That's right.
Who are God's servant that you read in this Bible that live without problems?
Yeah.
None. And without situations.
None.
And then when things happen, you say, what's going on? What's going on? Life? What's going on? The workings of the praying creation? So our focus is not here. So we should be renewed in our minds. Here, the Greek phrase is in the spirit of your minds. Amen. Of the spirit of the minds, of the spirit that belong to the mind. Of the spirit which belongs in you.
Yes.
Being a Christian and being a child of God,
yes,
is not so much about the transformation of the reformation of your flesh, but it's the renewing of the mind.
Yes.
And as we focus on the essence of what that means, it means to have the right information. Read verse 24.
Ephesians 3:24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Now, some have misconstrued this. This is not speaking about reformation.
Oh, no.
And course conduct is so very important.
Very.
I said to
very
all who sit under this ministry, grace does not give you a license to live raggedly. Grace has not come for the purpose of you living like you don't know God.
Amen.
See, what you know should influence what you do. Because you can't do if you don't know it.
All right.
You have to know it before you can do it. And so what you know will determine what you do. So it's so important as to what you know. Or what information is being fed to us.
Fed to us. Absolutely.
So when he speaks of putting off the old man, it is in reference to the renewing of your mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's not speaking about retiring the flesh.
No.
Or making the flesh perfect. This flesh will never be perfect. He's not speaking of a transformation to the point that outwardly it is the indication, amen, of the new man. The new man was created in Christ Jesus in eternity.
Hallelujah.
He is perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. He is reserved for you.
Yeah.
Each of us who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we have a glorified existence reserved and waiting for us. So he's not talking about the new man in the essence of our bodies. But he's speaking about in the essence of our minds. Of our minds. What is important to you this morning? On a priority basis, what is the most important thing to you? I want you to think about that. We all have lives, we have families, we have jobs, yes, and we are to occupy and do those things that are germane to it. But when Paul speaks about vocation in the fourth chapter, in the same fourth chapter, and he says you want word of it,
yes,
he's not speaking of your daily functions.
No way.
You see, your vocation is your major, a most prioritized function.
Mm-hmm.
So someone would say, well, that's where I go and make my money every day. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, no.
No, it's not.
No, no.
Your main function is as a child of God. And your main focus should be upon what God has eternally laid out for you.
Should be.
Here's our problem. Give me about 10 minutes and I'm going to bail out for the day. And this is going to take a while. Amen. Because it takes because we've been in the minds and in the flesh for many years, some of us.
Yes.
And we're not going to escape it in one or two settings.
Amen.
But it comes by the renewing of the mind. And the renewing of the mind is saying, get out of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Get away from the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on the things of God.
Yes,
prioritize the things of God.
Yes,
I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3.
Yes.
I have another document here. It's on our website also. Our eternal relationship with God. You know, I passed that out to you some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your prosperity ministers, they'll never go here. They won't.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going here because this is antithetical to what they teach.
Amen. Amen.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Elder, I want you, Deacon, I want you to read verses 1 through 4.
Right.
Everybody got to say amen. I'll be down in a minute. Verse 1, read.
Right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God.
Verse 2.
Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
And verse 4.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
When Christ, who is, he is what?
Our life.
That's what happened in Zion. And he what?
When Christ wills, our life shall appear.
He shall appear.
Mm-hmm.
He must appear.
Mm-hmm.
He will appear.
Yes, he will.
He's coming back.
Yes.
How many of us even think about the coming of Christ? When the last time you thought about the coming of Christ? All right, you can go to TBN, yeah, I'm calling names. You can go to the church channel. You can go to the Word channel.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to all of the different religious, national, cable networks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hard pressed to find teaching from here.
That's right. It's so true. So true.
But why would you want to live in a fantasy land? Because whatever you gain down here, my friend, one of these days you're going to give it up.
Yes, sir.
It's only on loan to you.
Temporary.
It's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And why is the ministry, well, yeah, I do know why, because they want to fill the seats and get more real estate and more money and, amen, I shouldn't say why. Yes, I do know why.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But is this what God's word is teaching us?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in existence that can be compared to the glorious relationship that is realized by those who are in the sphere of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The domain of such an euphoric dwelling place cannot be acclimatized in the earthly physical realm of natural creation. In the province of God's design, He is spiritually reserved in the heavenlies. Everybody said the heavenlies.
The heavenlies.
Amen.
Yes.
He is reserved in the heavenlies.
Yes.
Such eternal accommodations were in His elect for this dispensation. We are positioned in the body of Christ. This is the foundation of the instructions directed given in Colossians. In verse 1, as he has read from the Greek text, "Therefore, if you have been risen with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God."
Right.
Amen. If then, therefore, as it draws its inference from the previous verses, amen, as Paul relates the fact that those who have died, amen, through their identification with Christ, who are saved, as a result of this, we are severed, we are cut off from the elements of the world. Seems like this is strange teaching, eh? Amen. We have been removed from the basic principles of the world. Here in these verses, in some verses that precede this, we don't have time, Paul outlays some of the things that God's people to be separated from, because we have been separated unto them. And here Paul refers to them as the commandments and teachings of men.
Amen. Sure did.
In this first verse, chapter 3, it expands this thought and it speaks of one having been raised, identified with Christ. Amen. So if you have been raised, if you're in Christ, if you're saved this morning, what are the instructions?
Uh-oh.
The instructions are to look around you and grab as much as you can.
Nope.
No. Seek the things above.
Oh.
And just in case someone did not understand this.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
It basically means to seek a literally pursue after them and strive after them and endeavor to attain unto the things above. But the ministry, they are reluctant to stand before the people and talk about the things that you can't see. And actually, this is where your hope lies.
Yeah.
Those things that you cannot see. Paul speaks about, and he says that eyes haven't seen,
yes,
not ears heard, nor has it entered into the mind.
Come on.
Those things that God has prepared for us. What has He prepared? You know, 15 bedroom house on Ice Cream Boulevard. No!
Nope.
That's going to perish.
What
is He prepared for you?
Everlasting
relationship.
Yeah.
With Him. And then He goes on and says, seek those things above.
Yeah.
Not. Everybody said not.
Not.
Not those things on earth. Right? If this isn't true, let's take this page.
Yep.
Let's just rip it out the Bible.
Yep. That's right.
How much do you hear that preached? Is it a fact that our focus must be on the eternal?
Amen.
Why is it all about what's here and now? The problem is somebody don't believe what's written here.
Absolutely not.
They've seen it. They've read it. But they don't believe it.
Don't believe it.
They're not convinced. They said, let's go with what we have. Corroborating that, I think about the two tribes of the 12 Israel when they got ready to cross Jordan.
Come on, come on.
They said, you all go ahead.
Yes.
We like what we see here.
Yeah.
Some right. Know that it comes, that it, that's the promised land,
mm-hmm.
and you say it's great
mm-hmm.
and it's glorious,
mm-hmm.
and we believe it, but they really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we like what we, this looks pretty good to us.
Right.
And this is what the ministers are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be focusing on heaven that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some of these good things
mm-hmm.
that are on us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're not good. They're corrupt.
Yes. Yes.
Everything touching life around you is corrupt.
Everything.
Flowers bud in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and the leaves that you see on the trees,
mm-hmm.
in a few months,
mm-hmm.
they'll be gone. You say, yeah, but they'll come back again. Yeah, but they'll go again too. See? Temporary. Even our flesh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Temporary.
Temporary.
The life goes out of the body,
mm-hmm.
you better quickly get it into the ground.
That's right. Right.
What happens?
Corrupt, putrefied.
Because it's corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we can count on and know of are the things above.
Mm-hmm.
So the things above should not be construed to connote anything physical,
mm-hmm.
anything concrete. Or anything seen. For the inference conveys that which is spiritual, that which is abstract, that which is physically unseen.
Right.
This comprises those things that are in the vertical, eternal sphere of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that majority of the ministry is geared toward keeping your interest. No speaker, no pastor, no preacher, even this pastor, like to be construed as being boring and bored. But the risks of boring you,
mm-hmm.
I will stick with the script.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you want to talk, if you want to find out how to get rich, they have seminars. And the only thing is, years ago, they would give these seminars and pack it out. Now they've taken, amen, that strip and they brought it to the church.
Yeah.
The how to. We live in the how to. How we live in the how to environment. How to do this.
Mm-hmm.
How to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How to, how to, how to, how to. And it's all a farce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Now, we have been studying in the Bible classes and in the perfecting class shall be focused on what is termed lapsarian.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pass the big word. No, no, no. Reason that the general church populace don't know these things is because the ministry has been neglectful to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
Lapsarian is only the essence of the order of God's divine decree.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God has a plan
yes,
that begins in eternity.
Yes.
And everything that is happening in time is a reflector of God's eternal decree.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Your birth.
Mm-hmm.
Your nationality.
Mm-hmm.
What family you were placed in.
That's
the things that you're going to do your whole life span is in a decree. And God has different plans for each one of us. And this is important. And so we have been taught that what we do in time determines what happens in eternity. That's backwards. What's happening now is as a result of what God decreed in eternity. So eternity dominates time. Time does not dominate eternity. Time is a creation. God created time for the manifestation of his decree. And so the things that happen in life, and there are many disappointments that one may have in life, we must see them as incidents that's happening on our way to our eternal destination. And as we move through time, everything has been laid out and orchestrated. And everybody said, oh, no, no, no. Can't be. Said, God wouldn't plan for this to happen to me. You see, the ultimate end of where God has us placed is God's priority. Not what's happening to you today. When we're in our glorified bodies, it won't matter where we worked, where we lived. Won't matter the heartache that we had. It won't matter the trials and the tribulations. It won't matter at that point. You see, the end is where our focus should be on. And this is why the Apostle Paul, here's a man who went through some of everything. And you see him at the end of his journey, at the end of his life, he writes to Timothy and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have run my course. You know what Paul's course was? Paul's course was great suffering.
That's right.
We like to talk about Abraham.
Yeah.
And all the riches that God gave him at the end. Nobody talks about Paul. Paul had money until he met the Lord.
Amen.
Paul's health was good until he met the Lord.
Amen.
But at the end, he said, I'm ready to be offered.
That's right.
Would you say that Abraham had a more successful life than Paul? I want to say, yeah, because look what he had at the end. No, 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 no. The end hasn't come yet. What Abraham had at the end of his life, when he died, he lost that. It is only what God has promised to you that you have. Remember, anything that you have to give up is not yours. And the only thing that we will never have to give up is what God has promised us.
Hallelujah.
So let's focus. Let's prioritize the things of God, because one of these days you're going out and you're going to die. Well, Pastor, don't say that. Now, I'm not telling you that in these ministries, but you're going to die. We're going to die. If the Lord tarries, I dare say, unless it's the little babies, nobody in here will be alive 100 years from now. They're sitting in here. And if we don't realize the temporariness of where we are now and focus on the eternal essence of where God has placed us, Then tell me, what good news is there? There's none. If we're not focusing on an eternal, everlasting abode and a relationship with God that never ends.
Yeah.
If this is not true, then what hope do we have?
Yeah.
What good is it to live 60 years, 70 years, 80 years? What a joke to go through all of this and then lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing to follow it. What a joke. What a cruel joke.
Mm-hmm.
No, my friend. So we dare stand on the word of God.
Yes.
Seek those things.
Mm-hmm.
Prioritize those things.
Yes.
That are above. Not on earth. Above. So if something goes down, it doesn't destroy you.
Mm.
And annihilate you. No. If you lose your job,
hallelujah,
would that be the end of the world? Somebody say, I don't want to think about it.
Mm.
If you lose your house,
mm-hmm,
would that be the end of your life? If you lose your money, if you, there are those who have lost everything,
mm-hmm,
physically and gain.
Gain.
This is why Paul said there's no comparison.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I had, I lost. He said, but I count them as nothing. Or is done for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And what he was saying is that what I gave up, amen, compared to what I gained, it was not a fair trade because I gave more than I gave up. If your life is centered around you, if your life is centered around your current status and state of living, my friend, you are on a course of folly.
Mm-hmm.
You have but one life.
Mm-hmm.
It will soon pass.
Only
where you are in Christ will last.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.